It's good to be back with you again, or at least in front. I'm usually sitting back there with my lovely wife. I told Mike to tell the band, don't drift too far. As many of you know, I'm not a man of many words. Actually, my wife and I joke that each of us are allotted a certain number of words to use in our lifetime, and we're saving ours to the end.
Were you done?
Almost. Everybody get enough football? 42 bowl games. Wow. As I was watching the games, I was seeing the touchdown celebrations. I'm seeing these guys running. I'm like, what is that? Then you see some of these games and they're doing this. I'm like, what is that? I had to look it up. I had to Google it. Some of you are still catching up with what Google is. I'm catching up with touchdown celebrations, but it was dabbing. Some rap star did it, so everybody thought it was cool. The one that really got me was the running. When I found out what that meant, I was just actually pretty shocked. A rap star did it in a commercial or did it in an advertisement. It was based on him running away from a dope deal, a drug deal, and not paying for it. I don't know whether anybody caught that. But so now all these stars, all these athletes are celebrating running in place, which is running away from a drug deal and not paying for it. Just gave me a feeling of where pop culture has gone, what changes in our life. But the Word of God doesn't change. We have, excuse me, I don't know where this is coming from. We have the Bible, and the Bible has been the same. Excuse me. But people say, well, what is the Bible? It's a book. Book made up of stories. There's the old part from before Jesus. There's the new part from the life of Jesus. Compiled over many, many years. Bible teaches us about God's love for and his work through Israel. Teaches us that Jesus is the Son of God. It recounts the many teachings of Jesus. Teaches us salvation. And to have faith in Christ. And that Christ will come again. The Bible takes many forms. Happened to be lucky enough to have a family history Bible. This was my great-grandmother's. It was presented to her in 1939. And as I looked through it, I found a prayer that she had clipped into the front. I'd like to read this prayer. This is where we go to prayer. Lord, before we live today, we must not forget to pray to Thee who kept us through the night and brought us to the morning light. Help us, Lord, to love Thee more than we have ever loved before. In our work and in our play, be Thou with us, Lord, today. It's interesting to have an old Bible and to see the notes that are written in the back. The highlights, well, they didn't have actual highlighters in 1940. With the pencil notes, the notes in the front. This was my grandmother's mother's. Another Bible that I've had for a long time, and I showed this to Pat. Pat Overmeyer presented this to me in 1973. I was nine. I'll let you do the math, but not too fast. Pat Overmeyer and Reverend Williman were here. This was during Sunday school transition. I've used this over the years here at church, at home. I made notes in it. I was using post-it notes before there were post-it notes. Part of it is, what do we do with the Bible? And I put this up there. I said, how will you use the Bible? And after I thought about it, sent it to Mike, and he prepared it, I thought, should be, how do you use the Bible? Because everybody should be using the Bible, but some of you might not. I don't use it as much as I should. You can read it. We can study it. We can distribute it. Some people decorate with it. Told my wife I wasn't going to put her on the spot. We have several Bibles around the house, but we have a nice one that we haven't used yet. Say it again, we haven't used it yet, but we will. But it looks nice sitting on the table. Many of you might remember in the old church where this Bible, actually, I think it was this one, actually used to sit up on the altar. There are many different versions of the Bible. I shouldn't say versions. There are many different Bibles. The Bible does get distributed. I belong to a group called the Gideons International. We've distributed work testaments. Last year, distributed 85 million copies. They've distributed over 2 billion copies around the world. 200 languages, 95 different countries. The Bible is reaching. Many of you, Mike and I were talking about this, visit different churches, or somebody says, pull out your Bible, how many people reach for their phone? You know, the Bible's on the phone. The sermon or the scripture today is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17. And I'm going to do something a little different with technology. I'm going to let my phone read the scripture.
But as for you, continue on what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
The nice thing about technology is you can change the language on this. I didn't, because I might not be able to get it back to English. And sometimes it doesn't stop. Come on. Thank you. But if you have a Bible, but you're not using it, it doesn't do any good. If it's sitting on the shelf collecting dust, it does nobody any good. I thought back through the years of how I've studied the Bible and how I've learned about the Bible, but I haven't always memorized the Bible. I remember before we moved back to Ohio, I was a little guy. We lived out in the state of Washington. I vaguely remember going to a church out there. 1969, we moved into the house next to the church. I started coming to church here. Sunday school, youth fellowship, youth programs, vacation Bible school. Scripture is presented, but is it remembered? Then went off to college at the University of Toledo, went to Christian fellowship at college, study classes. Probably not as much as I should in the Christian studying, but how many times did I actually commit something to memory? And when Beth and I got married and moved out to Liberty Center, we were searching for a church. We weren't committed to a church yet. I'll tell you this story because when you think about asking somebody to church, but you think they might be busy, I was out in the yard. We didn't have a garage at that time. I was out in the yard changing oil, and Beth wanted to know how to change your oil, so she's laying under the car with me. I look across the yard, and there comes a set of legs walking across the yard. I mean, it was a whole body, but the legs. Then it was our local farmer, Cloyce. So we rolled out from under the car, and he's like, hey, are you going to church anywhere? I'd like you to go to church with us. So don't think that because somebody's under a car or working in their yard, they can't be invited to church. So that started us back into church at Liberty Chapel. Then we moved back into the area, and here I am. You've got me again. But Cloyce looked at me as his Timothy, and he was my Paul. And for those that know the story of Timothy, Timothy was raised by, learned scriptures from his mother and his grandmother. And then Paul took him under his wing. So Timothy had a good basis. His father was Greek and wasn't there to teach him. But his mother and his grandmother were committed into the scriptures, committed into the religion, and gave him a good, strong basis. So Timothy then, brought up by Paul, understudy to Paul, traveled with Paul, went around the world with Paul, developed that strong basis. And something else that keeping in mind is that Paul's letters to, or that are covered in the books of Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and the book of Titus, those are referred to as the pastoral letters. Their advice for pastoral care, oversight of the congregation, directions on how Timothy was to help bring up the church, help control the church, help to teach the church. It was guidance to live in Paul's spirit, to keep in mind when times were not going to be good, that there could be false teachings, and there were starting to be false teachings. And Paul said, Timothy, be strong in what you've learned. So 2 Timothy's base was developing a sound doctrine, having that strong basis. Because only upon having a strong doctrine, only upon having that strong basis, can you hold on to it. You can then teach it. You can abide in it. You can live in it. You can preach it. So Paul urged Timothy, part of it was urging him to come back to Rome, visit Paul. But also it was to get Paul or get Timothy to develop his faith, cling to his doctrine, defend the church. As you might remember, Paul at one time was not a good guy. He was killing Christians. So it's interesting that Saul became Paul, turned around his life, and now is upbringing or supporting Timothy and supporting the growth of the church and where it would go. Verses 16 and 17 that were in that scripture I read, verse 16 said, all scripture is God-breathed. That's pretty broad statement, but it's all God-breathed. Now, that doesn't mean that people were sitting there transcribing what God was saying. It wasn't word for word. But God was involved in everything that happened in the Bible. The early teachings, the work through the people of Israel. And then when Jesus came along, where did Jesus come from? The Son of God. So it was only through God, through developing, everything that's in the Bible is breathed and inspired by God. But as I mentioned before, Scripture is only useful if we know it. And once we know it, we can obey it, we can preach it, and we can teach it. We do all this to honor God. So now you read it, you study it, you obey it. All that means to put together a godly life. Because what good is it to read, what good is it to learn, if you don't put it to use? Went through engineering school. There's people that have learned the trades. We have skilled trades, auto mechanics, farmers, doctors, accountants. There's all kinds of exercise instructors. Very important items in life, but if you learn something and you don't put it to use, what good is it? Same thing with the Bible. If you learn it, if you study it, if you read it, but you're not living it, you're not putting it to use, it might as well be just another decoration sitting on the corner. It's a nice little book. It sits there and it looks nice. I forgot this in the early service, but it reminds me of a childhood book that we used to have, and I don't remember if it was grandmother or our house. Petunia was a duck that found a book. She carried the book under her wing. So everybody thought Petunia was smart, but she didn't know that there was something inside the book. So carrying the book, looking at the book, doesn't make you wise. So we blend our study, blend your godly living. And here we are at the beginning of a new year. Maybe it's time for that New Year's resolution that, hey, I haven't been studying, I haven't been learning, I want to get into it. The beginning of that scripture, verse 14, said, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. So continuing on about what you can do with your learning, and one of the first things is teaching people. You can provide teaching. You can guidance for life, guidance for love. Remember, Pastor Mark mentioned last week, changing our lives, changing our habits, so that we can be better with our mouths, our hearts, our hands, and our minds. I mentioned in the first service, and Velma Stacy helped me out, and then I didn't write them down, but that's like 4-H. Heart, hands, health, and head. Thank you. And I don't have them in the right order, but you know, that was the first thing I thought of when Mark was talking about that last week. It's like, I think Mark was in 4-H. So if we've learned the Bible and we're doing teaching, we can also rebuke the false teachers. Scold them, reprimand them, force them back. If somebody is talking falsely, not following truthfully, if you have that knowledge, you can help set them straight, which leads to correcting. Once you've pushed them back, correct them. Show them the right way. Tell them what the right story is. Give them the right scripture, but only through study and memorizing. And fourthly, training. Training in righteousness, doing what is right, doing what is morally right. You have the basis. We know how to live our lives. Live it the right way. But through doing all this, we're aiming for salvation. But salvation does not come just by reading. Have I said it enough? Read it, study it, learn it. But when you study, when you read, become deeper following, you grow. But it isn't enough that. Pray. We follow God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't just third, isn't just hanging around. The Holy Spirit is there to indwell within us. Through praying for the Holy Spirit to be upon us after you've read and after you study, it helps drives it deep into our soul. The Spirit is there to help us understand where this is all coming from. You can think of the Holy Spirit as a teacher. The Holy Spirit's an evangelist. The Holy Spirit is a change agent. And I can't read the last word that I wrote. Companion. The Holy Spirit is your companion. The Holy Spirit is there to fill upon us. How many times do we tell somebody we'll pray for them? Somebody's had a disaster. We'll pray for them. What we're praying for is the Holy Spirit to fill them, to be upon them. So the Bible provides us the Word and the wisdom of God, but it's your choice. Are you going to choose to study? Are you going to choose to read? Are you going to choose to decorate with it? Let it sit on a stand? It's that special book. We put it over here. You know, we sit with it next to the fireplace. It sits there on the mantle, and it looks really nice. But if it isn't opened, if it isn't used, that's what just shook me. I don't know. I pick this up and I want to cry. But this Bible is used. There's notes in it. This leather cover is worn off. Cover's off of mine, but I think I just screwed it up. But if you have the book to use, and they make more. If you wear it out, if the pages get ripped, if you've highlighted in it, go buy another one. Remember I said we have this one, we haven't used it yet? Yet. It will come. So the choice is yours. The Bible is available. It's inspired by God. It teaches us what to do. The Holy Spirit will help it dwell within your heart. Hope that is something to live by.
Amen. Amen.
So whether you have an old book or a new book or a digital book, have the Word of God. Read the Word of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you and hold you. Have a great week.